Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues on American Family Radio, March the 26th. Thank you for listening to AFR. Good morning, Ed Vitagliano.
Good morning, Tim Wildman.
Ed's got his computer running over there, which had about a three-second delay.
I forgot to mute it. This is a whole different setup because we're practicing social distancing. Normally, I have this other computer. So
I'm hearing, for those who don't know, I'm hearing myself across the room on Ed's computer as I introduce the program, because of the three-second delay. Otherwise, this is a very professionally run program. Chris Woodward's in Studio Venus.
Yes, yeah. I'm the one with an app that sometimes will chime in during the show. I don't have volume.
Studio Venus. I don't know where I get. I just came up with that nickname because he's so far away from Earth.
Yes.
Here. How you doing this morning, Chris?
I'm doing well. This studio may be in the same classification as Pluto before long. I may be a dwarf studio. I don't know. I am short, so it would be fitting.
All right. So if you want to, Ed, tell these fine listeners out there across the USA.
Fruited Plains.
Yeah, Fruited Plains, how they can engage with our program here.
Well, are you talking about watching it?
If they Ed, I don't, watch it? Whatever you want to say. Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't really care. I got to get folks, a drink. I'm sipping coffee.
If you'd like to listen to this program, then I don't understand the question because you are already listening to us audio. If you want to watch us, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and search for Today's Issues and then click through, and you can see, you can see Tim.
I think they can see you too.
Can they see me too? All right, yeah. I'm off to the side.
I don't think
today.
Bono's on, but
and Chris, you won't be able to see Chris. He's in another studio.
It's getting bad when I'm the only one that gets my own
Venus.
Jokes.
Pay no attention
you got
to the man
Brent?
In Venus.
You get that joke? You get the YouTube Bono joke? Okay.
I didn't get it. Bono.
Here, Ed, I'm going to draw you a picture.
You mean the one who was married to Cher? I know. I'm just kidding.
That was funny. That was funny.
Bono is the guy that still hasn't found what he's looking for 30-some-odd years
Bono
later.
Bono is the guy who sleeps in his sunglasses.
Yes.
I got you, babe.
We're not on the same page here, today, Ed. And you and I are co-hosting. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Appreciate you listening to AFR. We got a lot to talk about today, obviously, what's going on in the news, in our country, in the world, and Dr. Alex McFarland, our brother, will join us at 10:45. That's Central Time, so we're in Central Time Zone here, so adjust your clock there to know what times I'm talking about here. 10:45 Central Time, Dr. Alex McFarland, always inspiring, always got a good word for us, and he will join us. All right, and then at 11:05 Central Time, Philip Gunn, who is the Speaker of the House of the State of Mississippi, I want to ask him about what's the role of state legislatures in a time like this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we hear all about governors
right,
and presidents.
Right.
And,
do state legislatures have a role
right.
To play, and what is it in these unprecedented times? Is there anything else we needed to mention before we get started here?
I think that's...
Okay. Go ahead, Chris. What's leading the news?
Well, it looks like the House is going to take up this $2 trillion relief bill from the Senate as early as tomorrow. Speaker Pelosi is already out urging a strong bipartisan vote in favor of this bill.
She's President, all about bipartisanship.
She really is. She really is. And then President Trump would sign it, assuming the House does... approve the measure. And this is $2 trillion. This is the deal that Mnuchin and Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, and the majority leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, all agreed to this week. It's going to provide people things like $1,200 checks per individual. That'll vary by income and family situation, so you might get more. And if you have kids, You might also get a little extra there. There's money going to small businesses. There's some language in there that would try to send out respirators and other medical equipment to hospitals, things of that nature. We have talked about this a few times already this week, and I do want to point it out just so we're not misleading people. You know, Nancy Pelosi had a separate bill several days ago that got a lot of attention because she wanted to send millions of dollars to the JFK Art Center, if that's the actual name, and then other basically Democratic wish list kind of things. CNN does point out this morning that there is $100 million that would go to quote-unquote the arts. So the JFK Center is going to get some money as well as other establishments, which do say they are being negatively impacted by lack of tourism, things of that nature. So they're asking for money as well, and it looks like this bill does prove it, or provide it, I should say. But just because senators and whatnot are still out talking about this, I want to mention this soundbite here. This was Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell earlier this week announcing this deal and saying it's good news. Clip one, Brent.
It's good news for the doctors and nurses in emergency rooms around the country who are waiting for more masks and more funding. It's good news for families all across America. At last, we have a deal.
Now, regarding the $2 trillion price tag, some people want more, some people want less. But do you think these legislators have no other option here? Or what do you guys think about the amount and just kind of the time frame we're looking at?
Well, we're going to go to our chief economic correspondent, Ed, Ed Battagliano. Ed, take it away.
Thank you, Tim. Here in Washington, D.C., the Senate and the House have passed a $2 trillion
coronavirus. Chris was trying to ask us a serious question.
Yes, he was.
About the money.
And I reject his attempt.
Sure.
Listen, I think sometimes perception is important in an uncertain time, so I think Congress had to do something. I don't know about $2 trillion. I know it's noting that that this bill includes $400 million to help states move toward mail-in voting. So it's got...
That's a crock.
That is a bunch of baloney. And so I don't agree with everything that's in it. I think it is important that if we, as a country, provide aid to other countries in times of national emergencies like tsunamis or earthquakes. There's nothing in principle wrong with the government helping its own people. And I think there are a lot of people who are suffering financially, and that money is going to come in probably, I would say, not just handy. It might make the difference.
When do those receiving checks, when do they arrive?
It should be sometime in the next couple of weeks. The reason I say it that way is that was how Secretary Mnuchin worded it recently in one of the press conferences that he mentioned. So you're looking at probably some point in April getting a check in some form or fashion in a varying amount in the U.S. Mail.
How do they get that list of people to send it to? Is that based on
Social
Security numbers or what?
That's a good question. I'm still checking with taxpayer groups about various things. About that, I'll get back to you on that and see what I can do there. But I would imagine the government has some way. You know, the government does know a lot more about us than we would like them to, or maybe even know that they know about us. So they probably have some system.
Well, and besides the amounts in the stories that I've read, the amounts that people will be getting are based on their filing status, tax filing status. So like individuals filing separately, couples filing jointly with children, without children. So I think the vast majority are going to be those who are already in the IRS system, you know, for filing. And then they'll have to kind of go around the edges to include everyone else.
What about illegal citizens?
No, they're not supposed to be getting anything.
You sure?
Well, that's the stories that I've read.
Yeah.
The bill is just a monstrosity, and I'm not reading it.
I think
we sent people up to Washington to read these bills when they
pass. You know what they do.
And I am sure that they have read this bill.
These congressmen and senators, now, in fairness to them, I understand the role of a how do I say this, somebody in charge of a lot of people and a lot of things, because that's my role here, and that's your role too, Ed.
Right.
That's why I divvy it all to you. So you can, no, I'm just kidding. You and I would understand being responsible for 100 plus people and a ministry like this of our size. We're not the largest, but we're not the smallest. And that is to say, you cannot personally read everything,
right,
and study everything in detail. So these congressmen and senators divvy up their piece of legislation that's 1,000 plus pages long, and they give it to their staff, and their staff reads it, and it's supposed to know what my boss would want to know.
Right.
Yeah. So that's probably how that works. So I bet the bill was read by the congressman and the senator's offices, but not them per se. Plus, they only had like 24 hours. Unless you want to stay up all night and read everything.
That's why we pay them the big bucks, though.
Let me ask you this. Do you guys think, let's say the House passes this and the president signs it tomorrow, does this kind of make the world-famous comment from Nancy Pelosi back in 2010, we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it? Yeah. Does that kind of make that a dead argument from this point forward?
Well, listen, it's hard to – I don't – in a normal situation, I would say, we all would say – passing a $2 trillion, is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
The largest in American history?
Yes.
Piece of legislation in a matter of days is insanity.
Right.
Okay? Because that is not well thought out.
Right.
This is my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion. It's not well thought out in detail or process. It's not how you manage your household, not how you manage it's not how you do things.
Right.
Right? Because normally you go through in the Congress, you go through a committee process, you go through a vetting, I know there's a lot of wasteful spending. I'm just saying there's a process that's more thorough than what we've had the last few days. That being said, I understand why they did it so fast and trying to get the big things done because of the crisis that we're in. The getting this done, days do matter.
Right.
So I don't fault them.
I would say, and I said this earlier in the week, I do think the process is broken, because to me what they should have done is taken each of these steps and done a single bill. Not allowed pork thrown into it. So, no, you can't get money for the John F. Kennedy Center for the Arts and whatever. No, because that's not related to checks for people.
Mm-hmm.
And then help for small business.
Well, it so could, I think you should, excuse me, it could be, just one note, it could be, pardon me, that is just a coffee cough. Little coffee went down the wrong pipe. It could be that the employees of the Kennedy Arts Center, for example, which is a government-owned property, they could be in need of something. I don't know. I don't think it's for the ballet Saturday night. I don't know, but I'm just saying there could be a reason for it. Sounds bad, I admit, but there could be some legitimate reason in terms of personnel. But go ahead, I get that.
Well,
I get why people are upset.
The point, I think, when I say the process is broken, it didn't break because of the coronavirus.
Yeah,
this has been going on
a
couple of decades.
I know.
Where we're just going to produce a huge spending bill.
Yeah.
And we're going to load it with pork. Nobody really knows, and it's so massive. To your point, you got to these members of Congress have to get their staff in it. They divvy it up between, hey, will you take this section? I'll take this section. I don't understand why you couldn't just say, we're going to pass a bill that's going to send $500 million worth of money to the American people. That's all we're voting on.
Yeah. I would also like to know, maybe this is a topic for another day, how this works, actually. I mean, does this mean the printing presses over at the National Treasury are fired up now and got to send out cash to all these I don't know. I'm just asking.
It would appear that way at this moment. I've seen things from tax policy wonks this week on Twitter saying there aren't any changes to tax law regarding. So I take that as meaning they're not doing anything or ignoring anything in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Relief Act.
Hey, let's talk. Let's switch over and talk about the real. Well, money does matter because it affects all of our lives. So what the Congress did and what the president is going to sign is important. I think that's pretty very, very important. I think there's agreement across party lines and across ideological lines for the most part. But let me ask you this. Where are we, Chris, in terms of the virus itself?
It's still claiming lives and making people sick pretty much on an hourly basis. You know, Fox News, if you watch that at any point this week, basically half their screen is just the number going up and up and up. This morning, one of the major newspapers or news outlets in our country, I've got my notes somewhere, we've had over 1,000 deaths now in the U.S. We're one of the countries impacted the most by this. Italy is still a concern. Spain is still a concern. China is still a concern, regardless of whether you buy their numbers or not.
Well, the U.K. too.
The U.K., Prince Charles tested positive for COVID-19 this week, and that's being viewed as a big deal because he meets with a lot of people and does a lot of things, so maybe somebody that was in close contact with him may have it, or other members of the British royal family.
All right, let me ask you this. Ed, you and I were talking yesterday. I'm not the best at math, but...
Well, you anointed me the economic expert, so I guess I'll...
I did ask you, and you said that the way you figure up a mortality rate is you divide the... total deaths, man, I can't believe we're talking like this. This just sounds so morbid. But I mean,
that's how you get the death rate.
That's how you get the death rate. Mm-hmm. Total deaths in the U.S., which according to the coronavirus pandemic numbers here on the Fox News website, is 1,046 of our fellow Americans have passed away because of this, attributed to this. And the total confirmed cases, 69,210 people have tested positive.
Right.
The testing continues to go up, you know, as we get more, if they become more available. Mm-hmm. So you divide the total deaths by the total cases?
Yes, okay. And it's a 1.5%.
Okay, so then Chris and Ed, here in our country, if you want to compare it, to other countries, it's much lower, right? The mortality rate.
Well, it seems, and Chris, you jump in here too. Okay. It seems to me that they were predicting that it could be as high as 3.4% early on. Now, in their defense, talking about the medical experts, nobody really knew anything about this,
and we still don't know. I mean, I guess maybe these numbers are sufficient to draw out a scenario for our country.
Right.
But.
Yeah, and so, you know, and early on, some were saying, well, it may even if it's like 1.4%, I heard that number thrown around, which is just around where we're at. They were talking about if the number of cases is X number of, you know, millions, whatever, you could have anywhere from, I think I saw numbers, 500,000 to 1.5 million deaths in this country. It does not appear that we are going to reach that worst case scenario. I'm assuming that, you know, I don't know, but these numbers, you said we're talking numbers. These are real people with real families and stuff, but it looks like that earlier 1.4% is going to be closer to where we are, at least at the current time. I mean, Chris, I know they try to do some models and those are inexact. And we are learning things about it, and the death rate and the infection rate is all going to be altered by the practices we're doing, and you're shutting down the country, and people are staying away from each other.
Right.
So, what are you hearing in terms of what medical experts are seeing so far?
Well, first, our the number of deaths in our country is lower than other countries really impacted by this as of right now.
Are you talking about total number? Are you talking about percentage of the population, or what are you talking
about? I'm talking about the number of people that died. And we have a much larger population than Italy. I'm not sure what their ballpark figure is, but I know we have more people here than they do. We've had fewer people die than in Italy or some of these other countries with very large outbreaks. But Italy is still a problem, or still an area of concern. Spain is as well. I mean, they've had hundreds of people die per day now, going by some of the headlines.
Spain's becoming the new Italy on
this. Yes, sir. Now, that is the reason, the stated reason why we've had a lot of governors or maybe even mayors telling people stay inside if at all possible, don't go out, these businesses don't need to open and all that, because they're trying to keep our numbers from spreading like a fire, if you want to think about it this way, or the lily pad analogy that Ed greatly explained earlier this week. That's one of the reasons why we've been told to shelter in place. One of the other things I've heard this week, and a lot of this is kind of like drinking from a fire hose. You just got to take what right. you can. But one of the opinions I've heard this week, and I don't remember who said this, but some countries are counting the people that have literally died from COVID-19 or the coronavirus. Other countries are counting people that died from complications related to COVID-19. In other words, you might have died from pneumonia, but they're claiming that as a COVID-19 death, whereas other places are not doing that same exact thing. And that may be why we've seen really lopsided numbers, not only in Europe, but here in North America or other countries around the world.
Well, also, the truth is, in Spain and in Italy, their healthcare system is just not comparable to mm-hmm. ours. It just isn't. So that factors in greatly.
It does.
To this. And certainly Italy has their average age of death, I think, on this is like 80
yeah.
years old. So we do know that this virus is more riskier, I guess you could say, for quote older people
mm-hmm.
and for people with underlying health conditions.
Yes.
But anyway, we will see what happens. I know New York is the epicenter right now, New York City, and that's a mess up there, they're saying, with, you know,
right.
the increasing numbers of people coming into the hospital.
Yeah, and as we mentioned yesterday or the day before, I can't remember which day we said it, but, you know, that's kind of a perfect storm. You use those words in New York City. You got all – it's, you know – arguably the financial capital of the world. It is probably the first most frequent stopping place for people coming from overseas. You know, it's very congested, over 8 million people who live there. I don't know what that swells to when you have people coming from suburbs to work. And that's why they're saying even the tri-state area, I guess, talking about Pennsylvania, yeah. New York, New Jersey.
Also, they've had I don't even think today they've shut down their subways. The last I checked, the subways were still open. You've got the day the governor and the mayor are finally telling people don't go play basketball at the city parks.
Yeah.
These are very hard decisions to make for governors and mayors to mm-hmm. shut down people's lives and tell people, especially in a city like where people are on top of each right. other like they are in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying that they had the public schools going in New York until like 10 days ago or so.
Right.
It's almost impossible to close down a city like that in an area like that. But those are good reasons why we're seeing it explode there.
Yeah.
More than anywhere else. Now, New Orleans is getting bad, too, but because of Mardi Gras.
Right.
All right. We will return momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. A lot more to talk about. Dr. Alex McFarland will join us in just a few minutes, and he'll stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, and you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu.
The unsung heroes of the coronavirus crisis are the truck drivers working around the clock to make sure supermarkets are filled with bread and milk and toilet paper. However, since many truck stop restaurants have been closed, many truckers are hard-pressed to find a place to eat. So Dan Miller of Middlefield, Ohio, decided to do something about all those hungry truckers. Dan owns Mary Yoder's Amish Kitchen, a great place to get some good oven-fried chicken and fresh-baked bread. The restaurant also has a mighty big parking lot, big enough for truckers to park their rigs. So Dan is offering any trucker driving through town to drop by for a home-cooked meal, free of charge. Good Amish cooking, that's what he said on my national radio show the other day. Dan says he just wants to bless the truckers. And God bless Mary Yoder's Amish Kitchen. We have links to their Facebook page at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We are a Christian radio network broadcasting across the USA, 181 radio stations. And then we have tens of thousands of people listening on our AFR app. That's the great thing about the app is you don't have to be in range of one of our towers.
Just got to have internet, you know, signal.
Yeah.
Or you know, your cell phone data, whatever.
Yeah, so go, if you don't have our app, you travel. Sorry, it was cruel. Nobody's traveling.
No.
No, so. Let me just say, if you sit around your house.
Right.
If you sit around your house all day and you want something to listen to, get our app on American Family Radio. Tell others about it. Just download the app on your Apple device or your, what's the other one? The Android device.
Yeah.
Just download the app and you can get AFR anywhere you go all the time, 24/7. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Dr. Alex McFarland will join us in a few minutes. I got a lot of questions for Brother Alex. We were talking about the spread here in the USA of the coronavirus, and the hot spots are still New York, New Orleans, and
like San Francisco. Is Seattle still?
You don't hear much about that.
You don't hear much about that. That's kind of like where we all first started hearing about it in the
Yeah.
One particular
and again,
nursing home.
We were talking in the studio. You know, we have the same conversations that you do, folks, about in terms of when is this going to – how long are we going to do this? And by do this, I mean, you know, stay stationary. I think the social distancing is going to last – it may even change our culture permanently. It really might. I mean, think about it.
Yeah, I think it'll last for a while until, you know, human beings are notorious for forgetting, you know, lessons learned and right. going back to old habits. But I think it might be a year. I mean, this thing would really have to fade into our collective memories as that thing that happened last year.
That's true.
Before people start even probably shaking hands.
Hugging.
Yeah, hugging. Well, of course, I'm not sure a lot of people hug.
Well, you know,
we hug around here.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. You haven't seen somebody in a long time. Or
right.
You want to give them a hug and...
you can't.
And you just virtually hug. I don't know how long, but I think in 3 or 4 weeks, I just think people are, now the great thing is for most of our country, spring is arriving, right?
Yes.
So we can get outside and it's warm. We got some sunshine.
Can you imagine if this was in the dead of winter?
Oh my word!
Overcast all the time and cold and.
Yeah, that would be bad on our national psyche, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Chris, next story. Chris,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can
okay,
see
good.
You and
yeah.
hear you.
Had a technical difficulty there here on Venus. I'm coming from a great distance. I did want to mention some. There is some good news. While a lot of hospitals or maybe even patients that are impacted with coronavirus, COVID-19, what have you, while they're waiting on the government to send them money or products involving masks and other things, the National Cathedral found thousands of masks that it had stashed away in its crypt for years. And, you know, you kind of wonder, why does the cathedral have a crypt? But that's a story for another day. picture a large basement at the bottom of a church. Anyway, the National Cathedral, someone there, like it was like a light bulb went off this week, and they remembered the cathedral stockpiling or receiving thousands of masks 10, 15 years ago when there was another big coronavirus-type pandemic sweeping through the world. Albeit not as much of a concern as it has been in recent days. Anyway, somebody went down there. Sure enough, they had thousands of these N95 respirator masks. Mm-hmm. So they kept some of them for staff there at the National Cathedral to do what they're doing there in the D.C. area. But then they started sending them out to various hospitals, things like that. They sent 3,000 of them to one hospital there in the area and another 2,000 to a children's hospital. After they found a stash in the cathedral's crypt.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've been there many times, the National Cathedral. And
you ever seen the crypt?
I have, yeah, many times. Been
Tales from the Crypt.
Been down there.
Tim's Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, am I going to be allowed to talk here, guys? Or you just
My mic was not on at the beginning, so I'm going to get my 3 seconds back.
Been there many times, and they do have a crypt. The church is
massive,
100 years old or so. It's a cathedral. It's like the seventh largest cathedral in the world. So it's, you're right. Massive is the word to describe it. But yeah, that I didn't see their storage room, so I don't know where they kept. That just it sounds odd that you would have a storage room. I guess you put those masks in there and. There's thousands of masks, and you just, what do? Every year go in and say, hey, what's over there in that corner? Hey,
well,
Bill.
Nobody's been in there for years.
Bill, you want to go over there and check that? I'm not going over there.
You guys help me out, the two of you. I don't think I've ever been to the National Cathedral. I know what a crypt is. What's a crypt doing in the National Cathedral?
Well, by crypt, I'm talking about a basement. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Helen Keller's buried there.
Okay, so it's places there are
a couple of other
tombs,
well-known kinda. Americans who were buried there.
I did not know
there.
That. She was buried there.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's a national landmark, but it's also an Episcopalian church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
An active Episcopalian church.
I think that's where they had one of the services for President George H.W. Bush as well as the late Senator McCain.
Yeah, the National Cathedral has been used in our... You know, the last 100 years for many historic mm-hmm. gatherings after 9/11, President Bush spoke there to the country. I want to say Billy Graham's had some. Well, maybe not Billy Graham, but what, you're right. President Bush was there. I'm talking about when he had a memorial service there. So mm-hmm. a lot of things like that happened there. But I've never been in there. I've been to their. If by crypt they mean the basement area at the bottom underneath at the I have been. If you tour the church, you can go through there. Next story.
Well, we've mentioned and we've heard a lot about private sector efforts to help seniors or maybe help make sure these things are being made and sent out, things like that. I want to mention this today because these two retailers have a lot of locations throughout these United States of America. Sam's Club and Costco are joining the list of retailers adding so-called senior hours to meet shopping demands starting today. This is when it goes into effect. Basically, for a couple of hours each morning for the foreseeable future, people of certain ages, people with disabilities, those with compromised immune systems are going to be allowed to come in, and those people are going to be able to go through the store and get what has been put on the shelf overnight to help those people, A, get food, and B, not be around those that might be unknown carriers of the of the COVID-19 situation or virus, I should say.
So what you're saying, Chris, mm-hmm. is that our country has gone from happy hour to seniors hour.
They really are. Yeah.
That's another way you, huh?
You know, and something else that's interesting. You know, think about it when you were, when we were all kids, your parents were like, come home at a certain hour and don't be around these people and all these things. And now we're like telling our parents, don't go out. Who are you talking to? Don't shake hands.
If you're going
to
go, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How old is that?
All right,
person?
Grandpa, you go out, you're going to be grounded. You hear me?
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm doing now. I'm grounded.
Don't forget whose parent you are. Okay. You know, instead of don't forget whose son.
I know.
You
know what that is? I do commend the stores,
mm-hmm.
all stores, local, national chains that are
for sure
providing this time during the day for senior citizens, however that's defined exactly, to shop without being run over by, everybody else who,
right.
You don't, a lot of people don't think about how things change for an older person in those ways until you either have to take care of an older person or look after an older person, or you are one.
Right.
So it's good that we're being reminded that our seniors need special attention during this time, and just don't get too close.
Yeah.
Right.
I also wanted to mention Uber is in the news this week. They are offering free rides and meals to first responders that are out and having to deal with this at all hours of the day. Whether or not Lyft and some of the other competitors are doing that, I'm not sure, but I would imagine.
You know, that reminds me, we better all hope and pray, and I mean this seriously. We need to pray for the people we know personally who are in the healthcare industry.
I'm
talking
about
doctors, nurses, the janitors, the people who wash clothes, the food services,
mm-hmm.
all the things that go into making up a hospital, for example.
Well, that's why
if they start getting sick in mass, we're doomed.
Right.
Huh? I don't know how else to say it.
That's why I said they're like the 9/11. Everyone,
they're
got
the Marines.
They mm-hmm. got a new appreciation for first responders. For the police, firemen after 9/11.
Right.
Everyone said first, and now our healthcare workers are like that. After this is over, we'll be doing the same thing with those that we did with the police and all the
do things like mow their grass or. I don't know. Whatever you can do and be CDC compliant.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Give them, take some food and drop it off by their house.
Right.
They're not going to the grocery store.
I don't know. I think everybody knows what I'm saying. Be sensitive to the needs of those people, and also do you pray for them by name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got at least I've got two nurses in my family, and one of the specialized nurses that helps put people to sleep for surgeries. And they're all, you know, impacted.
Have you talked to them about what's been going on?
I've kept up with some of them mostly through to Facebook. One of them,
they don't have much time to chat.
They really don't. You know, one of them works for a nursing home type situation, so that's been a big area of concern, especially in, you know, we talked about Washington State a minute ago. That's where a lot of their problems started. The one that puts people to sleep for surgeries, it's nurse anesthetist. I can't say that word. That's why I try to word it the different way.
Anesthesiologist, right?
Yeah, but it's the other version of that. That's the name is hard for me to pronounce.
The nurse version, or
yeah, the nurse anesthetist. If
that is a hard word to say,
it is. I don't even know how to spell it.
Anesthetist.
But yeah, I mean, her where she works is, you know, they're on one of those, you know, no surgeries right now, no elective surgeries right now. So
right.
they're being impacted, maybe refocused and things like that. It is it's a big area of concern.
Yeah,
no matter
I'll
what you
tell
do
you something else, just to add to this joy. I tell you, we're going to have to, you know, the president talked about going back to work, hopefully, he said, hopefully, after Easter, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what he was shooting for. It wasn't a firm date.
And parts of the nation.
Parts of the nation, and he said he will listen to the doctors, but he also has to factor in other things when you're CEO of a country, as he is. And again, I don't mean to sound too negative, and I hope this won't happen, but you cannot go on, not just the economy, but you cannot go on without the country, quote, opening back up much more than what the president's talking about, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just think about this for a minute. You got the justice system. Right? You got court cases.
Right.
That are being delayed. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be.
Right.
You got prisoners being let out of jail.
And you got other people in jail waiting for their court appearance.
Yeah. And so think about that. Just you got, and let's say that, but then, you know, so if that continues on, then somebody might say, well, what if the judge gets sick?
Yeah.
Then you got to replace him with another judge. And then,
how do you have a jury with 6 feet in,
each person? I know, so you got to weigh that versus what I'm talking about, which is potentially a societal breakdown,
right?
That's going to become more visible,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't want that to happen, God forbid. But I'm just saying we do have law and order, and we do have a societal functionality, if you want to call it that. I mean, I went over to the bank here this morning to make a deposit of checks. Well, they're taking, I deposited a couple of checks, and they're taking window
only.
Folks, huh?
Mm-hmm.
They're taking window folks, which is great. But what if I need to go in there and talk to the bank manager about getting a loan?
Right.
I can't do it. Now, at least now,
mm-hmm. right?
I think some banks are taking one person at a time. But if you're the bank manager, you don't want to talk to 10 people,
right?
On Tuesday,
right?
Sitting 5 feet from you,
yeah.
About you're not even going to be able to focus on that, right?
Right.
So I'm just saying those are things that can be temporarily delayed. But and those that's just three or four examples of a million that we all could come up with about
right.
how churches. For goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Churches, we're already hearing about tithing. You know, churches are hit with an immediate financial crunch.
Right.
Because, now hopefully a lot of churches have saved for a rainy day, but
yeah.
let's be honest, that isn't the norm.
Right. right.
So I'm just saying that you start to think about these things, it's not just everybody staying at home. You just start to lose your... You lose, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What am I
you
saying?
You lose the society.
You do.
The interaction that we have all come to, we're not on farms anymore. The
yeah.
vast majority are in a
yeah.
In a citizen.
And
society.
You know, and things like public events, we like those. That's part of being human.
Right.
We want to go to Little League games. We want to go fishing. We want to go what? We want to go, to church with people and see our friends and go to work and talk to our coworkers. Yeah, I mean, those things we want to do. That's good for our
right.
That's good for us. And so
social
we want to,
animals.
Yeah, so we want to get back to that. You know, we can't all live off the land in Alaska, right?
Right.
You seen that TV show?
No.
There's a TV show about that.
I don't watch shows that remind me how easy I have it.
Hey, if you go to Alaska right now, you have to self-isolate for 2 weeks.
No, you don't.
Yes. It's
Really? The governor said
that's
that.
Kind of.
You cannot escape coronavirus by going to Alaska.
That's almost.
I mean, if you move to Alaska, you are self-isolating.
That's almost unnecessary right there. That governor. I'm just kidding. Hey, joining us is Dr. Alex McFarland. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing?
Where are you, brother?
I'm in North Carolina.
Staying home?
Well, I'm actually at Good Shepherd Church in the office doing some work, but
Who else is there?
My dear wife, Angie. She's with me.
Okay, well.
Who was a nurse, by the way. And so pray for my wife because she's working in a local doctor's office and she's exposed to 100 people a day of various levels of health. So, you know, I appreciate prayer for Angie and all the medical professionals.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, Alex, give us a, I know you and Bert have been talking about this a lot. Is this Bible prophecy, this worldwide pandemic? I guess pandemic is worldwide, right, by definition. So I'm going to ask you that. Is this Bible prophecy being fulfilled?
Well, I do think we are entering the birth pangs. The Bible talks about birth pangs, you know, as the creation groans, waiting for Christ's return. I do not think these are the plagues of Revelation 16. You know, it's interesting in Revelation, and I do think, you know, chapters 4 through 20 are talking about the tribulation, but there's worldwide disease and plagues in 16. There's false religion and demonism in 17. And then there's the fall of the world's economic system in Revelation 18. I don't think we're in the tribulation period, obviously. But let me say the Bible talks about birth pangs. And do you know, in Matthew 24 and 25, three times Jesus says that the end of time will come like a bolt of lightning from the sky, and so be ready. And Mark 13, Jesus says, what I say to one, I say to all, watch and be ready. And you know, folks...
Jesus said that?
Yeah, watch and be ready. Be ready.
I know that he did, folks. Please don't email me and say, Tim, you don't even know the Bible? I'm asking rhetorically, and I'm asking for a lot of people maybe who are new Christians or who are listening and aren't Christians. There are a lot of people now who aren't Christians, and they're going, maybe I need to look at the Bible.
Yeah.
Do you know what we had yesterday on Exploring the Word, Bert Harper and myself, a gentleman called in, a gentleman named Michael, in the last few minutes, and he was very earnest. He said, guys, I need to get right with God. I don't know how. Can you tell me how to be right with God? And on the air, we led and explained the gospel. He prayed on the air to accept Christ. No doubt many thousands of others were doing the same thing. And let me just encourage everybody with email or urging people to watch your church's live stream. Folks are very, very ready to get right with God right now.
Mm-hmm. Are they scared?
Yeah, and that's, hey, it's only rational to be scared and concerned, you know, and to think about getting one's house in order. And so my prayer is that this would just be, well, I'm going to say this, fellas, this may be the greatest evangelistic opportunity of our lifetimes.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, to your point, people are asking questions. I don't know how you wouldn't, because the nature of this... You know, it's interesting, you were talking about the signs and the Gospels. You know what else is interesting is that Jesus also said that people would be buying and selling, they'd be marrying and being given in marriage, and all those kinds of things that indicate that there is
a cloud that sometimes covers our eyes when life continues as it always has. This, you know, the pattern mm-hmm. of life continues. That can kind of blind you to
individually, reality. Individually and societal.
Yes, and so that's why Jesus said it'll come like a thief in the night. It'll be a shock. And so whenever you have something like what is happening now worldwide, this is all people are talking about.
Right, worldwide.
And the patterns of life have suddenly come to a cessation. They've stopped. That wakes people up. That's a cold slap in the face. And people are more open to talking about things that that matter. I mean, you're contemplating the possibility that I could get the coronavirus. I could be dead. And people are open to talking about eternal things.
Well, and think about this, folks, that to the question, are we near the end of time? I mean, only the good Lord knows. But I will say this. All right. Israel is in their land. The planet is wired up. Do you know right now there are around 300 low-level drones circling the planet, monitoring our moves? Everything we do leaves digital footprints. There's cryptocurrency. There's one of the signs of the end is the growth of the Christian church. I mean, I know we may not see it in America as prominently, but in places like Africa, the Philippines, South America, Brazil, Guatemala, China, even in India, there are places.
Iran,
Syria. The gospel and the church is exploding. And folks, and I want to say this, another one of the big signs that people like Wesley and Luther believed the rise of Mohammedism. Both Wesley and Luther said just before the return of Christ, there would be the rise of Mohammedism, meaning Islam. And I would say, folks, and again, our job is to be ready and be faithful. But let me just say, the chess pieces are on the table, and it would very quickly, this could coalesce into the end time scenarios of the book of Revelation. And so, yes, to everyone listening, I would say if you've never trusted Christ, do that today. Jesus is as close by as a prayer. Turn your life over to Christ. Admit your sin. Repent. Believe. You know, we're coming up on Easter. One of the most documentable facts of ancient history is that Christ rose from the dead, and that proves his messiahship. And so I would say if you've never trusted Christ, be born again and be saved. And if you are a believer, rejoice. Do you know, folks, the Bible calls the return of Christ the blessed hope. And so this is no time to be despondent or afraid or unnecessarily paranoid. Hey, Christ has given us the roadmap to heaven, to a relationship with him, to a meaningful life here. And now our job is to link arms and just proclaim to the world how they can be ready.
What is can people find out answers on your website?
Yes, we've got on my own website, which is alexmcfarland.com. And then I would just encourage people to listen to Exploring the Word. And at AFR.net, my own show with Bert and myself, all these shows are archived, and we've covered just about every topic under the sun, and we've got a lot more to go. But folks, what an exciting time in history to be alive. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. You can...
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Alex, and we'll listen this afternoon with you and Bert at 3 o'clock Central Time for the live radio Bible study program, Exploring the Word.
God bless you all.
All right, Alex, take care. Dr. Alex McFarland joining us from the Tar Heel State of North Carolina. Well, Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Ed and I shall return in just a few minutes after the news with Steve Jordahl. So we'll see you back here on the other side of the news.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.